Oh yeah, what's up everybody? Welcome back. It's the Fantasy Besties podcast here on the Razzball Fantasy Football YouTube channel. Actually, it's just Razzball Fantasy because they got everything over there. They got baseball, they got basketball coming up, they got it all. And thank you to Razzball for hosting us, hosting the Fantasy Besties on your YouTube page. You can also find the audio of the show on Razzball.com. And you could also find on Sunday mornings a start-sit show. Every Sunday from 10 a.m. Eastern to just about kickoff, Bobby hosts a start-sit show right here on the Razzball YouTube channel. So you could check that out also. I'm JB Barry at Fantasy Coach JB. With me today, two-thirds or two-fourths of the remaining besties, we got Coop and we got Loop. See, we missed the rhymes last time, and now they're back, and we got Coop and Loop, but we don't have Linda and Kev. But Linda should be coming. She's just getting her brake light fixed. So, Coop, welcome back, man. We missed you last week. We're going to let you get us started because I know you had a busy week last week. You had a bachelor party weekend. I'm sure there was some shenanigans going on. So what do you want to talk about, bro? You want to talk about the bachelor party? You want to talk about Patriots quarterbacks? You want to talk about your boy Evan Engram? What do you want to talk about, Coop? The floor is yours, brother.
Yeah, bachelor party was so last weekend, dude. It's this weekend now. So let's talk a little football, my man. Dude, Patriots quarterback situation. It's crazy to me how much I cared about the game last night. Like, when we lost, I was like, oh, no. And then I realized, like, wait a second. Why do I care? The Patriots aren't winning anything. You know what I mean? So I was just like, all right, whatever. After it took me like 5 minutes to be like, oh, I don't care. You know what I mean? In fact, it's probably better for the Patriots to lose. They're not winning anything this year. They're 1-3 right now. I'm kind of excited to actually have a real draft pick for once, dude. I think the highest I've seen us pick was the Mac Jones pick, and that was still like mid-round. It would be cool to get one of the best players in the draft, right? So that's where I'm at with the Patriots right now. I'm ready to tank. Let's do it. Let's start Bailey Zappi for the rest of the year. I'm on board.
Yo, and it was almost like Mac was trying to play yesterday too. Like, he was practicing. He was trying to, you know, get out there and not ruling himself out. Do you think they kind of put him aside and they're like, yo, Mac, just chill for a little bit. We're going to get you a star wide receiver by losing a lot. And then he'll be like, okay, I'll chill.
I think it was the original reports were that it's the other way around, where the team originally, he wanted the second opinion and he said it was going to be like 6 to 8 weeks. And the team was like not putting him on the IR because they thought it should be shorter. So it was kind of weird how that happened, where it was like at first he was the one that wanted the second opinion. And then all of a sudden he's at practice. So I don't know. Huh. Maybe he's a little worried about Bailey Zappi and the gang. You know, we've seen a young sixth-round pick on this team take the job from a 10-year, $100 million Drew Bledsoe before. So never be too careful.
Bailey Zappi's the next Tom Brady, is what you're telling us.
I mean, I didn't say it. You said it. 20 years from now, he'll be playing for the Bucks, winning championships. You know, hey. That just seems to be the order of events.
I'll put him right there on the wall next to the original.
That's going to be Bailey Zappi right there. So.
Hey, did you notice my shirt? Coop, check sick, that out.
Dude, where'd you get nice. That? I don't have one of those.
Because I ordered it from Etsy, bro.
I got a Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame shirt. What's up?
Nice. I was just talking to Loop, though. We got to reach out to Bosch and the FF Pod shirts, guys, and get us some Fantasy Besties shirts. I know our viewers want some Besties gear. I need Audie a Besties sticker. Audie Coop
would wear one every day, dude.
Ah, nice. I can't wait to meet Audie Coop,
she would rock it all the time. Yeah.
I'm so excited. Raina was mad at me yesterday. Raina's like, oh, so you're not going to dance with me at the wedding? You're going to dance with Audie Coop? I'm like, well, I can dance with both of you, but yeah, I'm definitely dancing with Audie Coop.
don't make me choose. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't know where Loop went. We lost Loop. So one thing that I want to talk about, because I don't want to talk about the Bucks, Coop. It was a rough game yesterday. The Chiefs got their payback. Look. We ran it up on them in the Super Bowl. We kind of put one on them there. They were disappointed. They were waiting for their payback, and they got it yesterday. They were very creative. I was very impressed with their offensive play calling. There's Linda right on time. Who needs brake lights?
Angel, you had to get some brake light fluid?
Yeah, right. So I got pulled over on Friday. That's how my fantastic weekend started.
And, oh, no.
Now I got to figure out fucking brake lights. But you were talking about really good play calling. So I have to imagine you were talking about Nathaniel Hackett when I logged in. Is that star?
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly who I was talking about, because he's actually he's a beast. I mean, look, Linda, Russ was finally cooking a little bit yesterday. I mean, he wasn't flipping burgers. He was cooking a little bit. You got to be a little bit happier on, like, with that salad performance.
He's on, like, the salad bar right now. That's not – I don't – that's not good. Refilling the salad bar is awful. Most people don't even flip it. He's probably bad at the salad bar.
Oh, man. So, all right, Linda, if that wasn't the favorite thing that you saw yesterday, what was your favorite thing that you saw yesterday?
I didn't have any favorite things. I finished a book after football hurt my feelings a lot.
You didn't hear, bro? She's an outlaw now. Running around with all sorts of brake lights, missing dude, blowing stop signs.
Getting pulled over, flipping off the cops.
Living crazy right now, dude. reading books instead of watching football, which is a crime, in my opinion.
What book did you read, Linda? Maybe we got some book lovers. Give a book recommendation here.
Oh, no, that's okay. Nobody's going to read the books I read.
Linda's like, How I Murdered Your Father.
Please just tell us. Just give us the name of the book. Just give us the name of the book.
It was in a New York minute.
Nice.
A subway New York train rips her dress off. It's great. That happens in, like, the first chapter.
I hate when that happens, dude.
It's a pretty common experience.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Hey, Loop, how many times down, how many times in West Virginia has a subway ripped your dress off?
I'm trying to think.
There's so many times. Yeah, you have had them all up, dude. Yeah.
Carry the one.
Common occurrence, dude. Oh, man. Well, Loop, I mean, speaking of ripping your dress off, right? I mean, it was a rough game for your Dolphins on Thursday night. So, I mean, look, we don't even really have the game to talk about, because once the Tua thing happened, everyone just kind of, like, lost their feel for watching a football game, and it kind of killed the mood of everything. So, Loop, as the resident Dolphins fan, quickly give us your thoughts on the whole Tua situation, and then tell us something you'd like to see yesterday.
Oh, okay. So my thoughts on the Tua situation are, let's wait for all the facts to come out before we jump to conclusions, right? I think it's entirely possible that mistakes were made. I think it's a stretch to say that there was purposeful, malicious intent, and it was known by everyone, including the coaches and the medical staff, that Tua should not have been playing, and they threw him out there anyway. I think that's a stretch. Now, if that is what is uncovered, I hope that the Dolphins are fine. They lose draft picks, whatever the case may be. Okay. Yep. So, and that's as a Dolphins fan. So if that's what comes out, then, you know, so be it.
And it's tough for us to tell, because, like, we don't know what happens, right? Like, we don't know if these independent guys are, you know, being paid under the table, or if they're really independent guys, or if they're best friends with somebody in the organization. Like, we don't know any of this stuff that goes on behind the scenes. It might just be that the concussion protocol itself is so loosely worded that they don't really know. It's kind of like, you know, was that a catch, right? Is that a concussion? Well, I don't know. Did he make a football move? Like, it might be one of those things where it's like, you don't really know the actual definition. I saw, and it's not really a subject to make light of at all, but I saw a tweet yesterday that someone said that the NFL's concussion protocol would have let JFK back in the parade.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. And I will say, though, a lot of times for change to happen, and that's in the NFL, that's across all spectrums of life, right? In order for change to happen, sometimes you have to have something bad happen that will serve as a catalyst for change. So it looks like they're already updating the protocols for concussions, and some new things will be in effect for week 5. So I hate that it had to be the Dolphins. I hate that it had to be Tua, and thankfully it seems like he's okay and he's going to be fine moving forward. But, you know, it seems like this may have just been the one thing that it took. And it was very, very publicized. You know, it was on national TV on Thursday night. Everyone saw it happen, and it was scary looking, right? So
it was.
But But like I said, maybe that was just the what it took to get some things updated and increase player safety even that much more. So you got to look at the silver lining, I guess.
Yeah, let's hope so. So what was a good thing that you saw this week? What was your favorite thing you saw?
My favorite thing, I guess, from yesterday was to see, and I think we're going to talk about it later, but to see Austin Ekeler look like the guy that you drafted him to be, because he was a lot of times he was the third running back off the board. You had JT and CMC kind of a toss up there. And then a lot of times, especially in PPR, Austin Ekeler was that third guy. And he's been catching the ball, you know, quite a bit still, as you expect throughout early in the season. But he hasn't been getting the same amount of rushes. He's been splitting a lot of that early down work with Sony Michel, Josh Kelly, and he hadn't found the end zone until this week. So he crammed all three touchdowns into 1 week here that we'd been missing. So it was nice to see that. And if you had him in your lineup and stuck with him, then he probably won you a week this week.
Yeah, he absolutely did. There were some really good performances, but I'm glad you talk about Ekeler, because the thing that I want to ask you guys about is proper trade etiquette. Okay, so I had a situation this past week where a league member messaged me, hit me up in the sleeper DMs, hey, let's talk about a trade for Ekeler. He's got Ekeler. I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to try to buy Ekeler a little low here, but, you know, there's other pieces we're going to add to this. We're going to make a whole deal out of it. We spent hours going back and forth talking about making a deal. We ended up, I had one of his handcuffs. He had one of my handcuffs. We're going to swap handcuffs. He's got, who did he have? I had Michael Gallup that I was going to give him back in a deal because he was excited about Gallup coming back. And I was going to take Treylon Burks from him in the deal also. We were going to swap RB1s. I was getting Ekeler. He was getting Chubb. And then I was also getting another piece in the deal, whatever it was. And then there was a pickup grade involved. We agreed to it. He goes, fine, you know, just give me Burkhead back instead of, I think I had Gainwell in there because I have Pierce. So give me Burkhead back and we'll make it a deal. Cool. I send the deal to him. Dude goes ghost. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Next morning, or like later that night, I'm messaging him, hey, what's up? What's going on? Next morning, he writes me back, oh, sorry, I'm in Germany, you know, traveling, and you know, I was knocked out. All right, cool. Still doesn't accept the deal. So next day, I'm like, dude, what's going on? I send him like a little ghost emoji. I'm like, we agreed to a deal. Are we doing this or what? He goes, oh, sorry, I had to go to England from Germany for a race today, and you know, I was out. Still, didn't accept the deal. So I'm like, all right, dude, what's up, bro? It's Saturday. Like, the games are tomorrow. Are we having a deal or not? Well, you know, now I thought about it, and I think I'm going to hold put and see what happens this week. And you know, we'll see what happens after Sunday if I win this week or not. So to me, I'm pissed off now because we agreed to a deal, right? Turns out I avoided, you know, the Treylon Burks injury and, you know, Gallup looks good, whatever. It might have worked out in my favor. But just general principle. Like, I was pissed that, hey, we agreed to a deal. You hit me up looking for a deal. Then you said, all right, send me this and we got a deal. Then you ghost me for 2 days. And then all of a sudden you don't take the deal because you want to sit back and think about it. Is this, am I bugging or is that something that like is just wrong to you?
This dude tried to go full Jason Bourne to escape JV's trade offer. Like, like hopping condense, and JB's like, not so fast. JB shows up in like a trench coat with like a mustache. He's like, so that trade, what race was he at? Like, sounds like this dude's doing awesome stuff and you're bugging him about nerd stuff.
I don't know. He's got some marathon in England he was talking about. I don't know.
Sounds awesome, dude. Yeah,
I could care less. I just wanted Austin Ekeler. I don't care.
Like, you know, he's got all these people congratulating him on running a marathon, and then like there's you sending like these like red face emojis.
Damn right. He wasted 3 days of my life. But seriously, though, like, I get it. He didn't click accept, right? So he has every right to not accept the deal. But, like, is that – it's just poor etiquette to me. Like, Linda, what do you think?
You're probably not going to like my answer. Yeah, sure, it's, like, not great etiquette. But also, you should probably not worry about it for 3 days. Straight, you said it ruined my days.
I wasted three days.
It ruined it. You wasted time. I just think, you know, like, like if I send a trade and it's not accepted and like we agreed on it, then I'm going to pull it pretty quickly. We're talking about it. But I also can't stand trade discussions. Hey, you want to make a trade? Sure. Fucking send me one. We'll go from there. I don't want to do the middle part at all.
I will say, dude, that like that dude should have been yes or no, you know, at that point. Like if you ask people yes or no, especially going into the weekend, like you should never let a trade go over Sunday. So that's my final ruling on it, is that he should have had to make a decision by the start of games on Sunday, because like conditions change. Treylon Burks has turf toe now. That's one of the worst, most annoying injuries, dude, because it's like, it sounds like it's not bad, but it's actually terrible. You know, it sounds like it's like you stubbed your toe, but the reality is your foot is ruined.
Yeah. I only learned that because of you like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We did a turf toe like segment.
Yeah, right. It was like, yeah.
I read it. Today
I think somebody was like, somebody's like, oh, it's only turf toe. I'm like, yeah, like turf toe, which like ruined Sean Alexander and LaDainian Tomlinson's entire careers, like that turf toe. Yeah. And I've
turf toe that ruined JB's last 3 days.
Right. Seriously. No, it actually made it okay, because now I'm like, all right, as much as I would have liked to have had Eckler yesterday, and that's why I was pushing for it so hard, because I knew a rebound was coming, Chubb still did fine. I got my touchdown from Chubb. I got a good performance from Chubb, and I won the week. And I got Gallup now to use as my RB3, so I'm fine with it. I was just pissed off. I was pissed off at the principal.
How dare Whatever. You? How dare Whatever. You go on any sort of vacation?
Forget the vacation. I don't mind. If you're going to take a day to go on vacation. But then don't come back and be like, hey, you know what? Never mind. You know, I'm going to think about it a little bit longer and go into this week and see what happens. Like, no, dude, you agreed to a deal.
He's using his white person voice. Look out.
All right. Screw you guys. Let's help our listeners, because it's getting to the point in the season where trades are happening. People need to shake up their teams. It's getting to that point where, you know, maybe you're 1-3. You got to do something. So for any of our listeners who are considering shaking up their teams a little bit, what's the biggest piece of advice that you could give to them? It could be general advice, or it could be specific players that you think they should target or possibly trade away. Loop, what kind of advice would you give the listeners?
Yeah, so you have to realize that when you're making a trade, the other team is also affected, right? So you do have to pay attention to what you're giving back to that other team and how much is it really going to help them. If you look at their roster and they're one player away and you really feel like if I give them the player, yeah, I'm getting better, but they're getting that much better. You know, if you get better and it's only good enough for second place and that team you trade the guy to is going to be first place, then, you know, you really lost the deal. So I would say just be aware of the rest of your league. Don't just focus on, is this good for my team? Pay attention if you're really making other teams better. Right.
We talked about that this morning, dude. Like you can't, if you help him assemble the Death Star or her, like, you know what the Death Star does, right? Like, you're going to get vaporized. Like if you do the two, if you're the one on the, you know, you're making your team better with a 2-for-1 trade, just be careful. Like Loop said, that you're not creating a monster on the other side. So, and on the flip side of that, you also have to, you know, the worst thing you could do is send people trade offers that don't help their team at all, because, you know, that means that you really don't care and you're just trying to rip that person off. The best trades are ones that help both teams. So yes, that's what you should be doing at this point, is focusing on helping your team, helping another team, but maybe not helping them so much that they are become like this unstoppable force, right?
Linda, what about you? Because from the way you were talking in the chat yesterday, you're probably going to be shaking up some trades.
Oh, my advice is to remember that nothing matters. It literally doesn't matter. So just take that and run with it. Feels good. It's freeing. We give up at 1-3. That's my advice. No, I listen.
Give up. Read a point now. Read a book.
Yeah, read a rom-com. Just okay. But my biggest thing now, like going forward, especially in the leagues that I haven't done so well in, and it started, of course, I drafted Trey Lance, and since then I've been chasing points. But like there was all this conversation right before the season started and redraft about start sit questions and how boring they are and how much analysts don't like them and they don't really matter, and just start the person that's projected more points. And I gotta say, I wholeheartedly disagree. I think there are often times where a player is not projected to a point where, like, I think they can get in any given week. And I'll bench somebody for that guy, especially now where I'm chasing points to get into playoffs on points four instead of on my win-loss record. So whatever crazy person told you that, just go with, like, projected lineups. If there's ever, like, man, go with your gut. Go with your gut. If you're 1-3 and you don't feel good about anything, do the thing you're going to be less, like, the least disappointed if it goes poorly. Like, I started Zach Wilson. I had high hopes for Zach Wilson. Obviously, there's still some issues, particularly with that offensive line. But we saw what he did.
He caught a touchdown pass.
He did catch a touchdown pass, more than Kyle Pitts on the season, but that's a whole nother conversation. But just, you know, go with your gut. Do the thing that you're going to be least disappointed in if it doesn't go well. That's where
and I like that. I like that, Linda, because you could take that into trades too, right? Like, you were talking about, you know, going with your gut and starting a player that you might think outscores projections. But you could do the same thing when you're targeting players for trades, right? Like, if there's guys down there that you think will have an ascending role, you could target that player and maybe get them on the cheap. I like that. How about Tutu, Boone, Gallup, and Josh Reynolds for your Nick Chubb? No, sir. No, sir. No,
that,
thank
that
you.
That trade is like, those trades drive me nuts, dude. Like, because not only do I not want Tutu on my roster at all, but like, I have to drop somebody now to accept. I have to drop three players to accept that trade.
I hate dropping people from dynasty leagues. It feels like I'm legit going to hurt people's feelings. They don't know that I exist or that they're on my dynasty roster, but I have to, like, it fucking hurts. I don't like to do it. Yep. So I rarely take any trade that's like, what if I give you all this crap and then you give me your best player?
What, and that's perfect, that? Because that's what I want to say too, is like, you know, Coop talked about a little bit, you know, make sure that it's helping the other team as well. Because a deal like you see here that John was probably joking about, and he just said you took it as a serious question. Like,
we knew you were joking. We knew you were joking, dude.
But John, that's the type of crap that you see in some leagues, dude. And that's something that I want to say, like, if you're going out there and making offers, like, don't throw crap like that out there, because right then and there, like, I'm not taking you seriously anymore. And if you come back with, well, like, yo, that was just a conversation starter, it's like, no, dude, no. Like, now the conversation's over. So
you're,
like,
a bad conversationalist.
Yeah. Like Coop was saying, like, you, it's got to be something where you're looking at filling needs for both teams. Like, I was having this conversation with my boy Corey last week. Like, I don't just look to win a trade. You know, obviously I want to win, right? I want to improve my team. But I want the other person to feel like they've won the trade too. Like, I want them to get something out of it. So if I'm in a position of strength at wide receiver and weakness at running back, and I find a team that's in a vice versa situation, then I could trade an RB1 for a wide receiver one and something like that, where, you know, they feel like they've won the trade because they got the best receiver, and I feel like I won the trade because I got the best running back, and it helps both teams. So look for deals like that.
You don't have any RB1s right now. You went robust running back.
Shut up. And I'm not even going to say it, but mine are not the ones we're going to talk about later. I knocked so hard on that wood because, man, I'm so glad Kevin's not here, because if there ever was a week to talk about zero RB, it might be this one. But let's move past that, because that's my take on trades is, guys, just don't just try to win the deal. Don't just try to, like Coop said, take advantage of somebody and you know, throw out a poor offer and then say, ah, I got them, you know, because A, karma sucks, could come back and bite you. But B, like, you know, you want to be a good trade partner for somebody. You want the league to see you're a good trade partner. You want to maybe open it up for later, keeper league, dynasty league. You want to open it up down the line to make future deals with these teams. So don't be that guy that throws out, you know, Tutu, Boone, and Gallup for Nick Chubb. Richie said he's going to trade Josh Jacobs for Mike Williams and Zach Ertz. Seems if like you have enough trade, running backs, I don't hate it.
Josh Jacobs is a star, though, dude. Just be careful with that, because I thought he was going to be splitting, that they were going to do the old Patriots backfield, and they're really not doing that. Josh Jacobs played like every snap. Looked really good.
Yeah, they started getting Zamir in a little bit, but not enough that it would scare me at all. And Jacobs looks good.
Jacobs played, let's see, they ran 75 offensive plays. Jacobs played 67 of those.
Nice.
Which is like outrageous. That's what 90% of the snaps. Nobody's even doing that.
So. He put up 34 and a half points for me in my FFPC, you know, the football guys one. And I got smoked by Los Fantasticos. Mauricio and Fernando freaking smoked me, bro. They put up like 200 points this week.
So it goes, dude.
Yeah. But, I mean, there were some solid performances, unlike mine, kind of more like Los Fantasticos performances. And I want to kind of go around the room and talk about some of the highlights of this week, right? So there were things like Aaron Rodgers throwing his 500th touchdown. Congratulations, Mr. Rodgers. Like, milestone. Pretty cool, right? But Linda, what was your cool moment this week that you want to talk about?
I'd like to first say, had no idea that Aaron Rodgers things happened until I read the show sheet this morning. I was like, hey, look at that. I really was not in it yesterday. What did I put my name by? Did I put it by Austin Eckler doing Austin Eckler things?
Yes, you did.
My buddy and I, the dude I co-commish my home leagues with, where I'm getting my ass kicked just thoroughly in both my home leagues. But we were talking about Austin Eckler yesterday. And, like, I think he's gotten a lot of shit for how well he's played so far this season. Like, it was like week two and everybody was like, what the hell with Austin Eckler? And he had like 18 PPR points. Like, what? I don't understand what you want. That's good. He was never going to score 20 plus touchdowns again. That wasn't going to happen. So, you know, the three touchdowns in one game feels great. You knew touchdowns were coming. That's what you drafted him to do, is catch passes. And especially in the end zone. So it was nice to finally see that return today or Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think he keeps it going, or do you think it goes back to him losing that rushing work?
In all fairness, the dude said in the offseason he wanted to be less of a running back. He wanted less snaps. He wanted some workload taken off of him. So I think also if you ignored that when you were drafting, that's kind of on you. It's how I feel about the Kamara thing. That's on you, you know, pay attention. But I think he's probably going to continue to catch passes in that offense. Herbert clearly likes him. Lombardi doesn't want to push the ball further than 4 yards down the field at a time. So as long as that offense stays the way that it is, he'll be just fine all season.
Nice. Speaking of Kamara, I'm glad you brought him up, because Val's the Goat dropped a question for us asking if he should trade Najee and Conklin for Kamara, Waller, and the Eagles D. I don't think I would.
Here's my concern with Alvin Kamara, and it's like deeply rooted in speculation, right? But they've pushed this court date out, and now it's out to November. Right now, this team is 1-3. We've seen in the past teams push these dates all the way out till they go through the entire season. The guy can play the whole season. We've also seen teams just let the date hit and then hope to eat that suspension this year so it doesn't hit next year. So there's an outside chance that this team, which is 1-3 right now, ends up being like 2-7 when that court date rolls around, and they just say, let's force this through, have him miss the end of this year, and have him come back and be ready for next year. That's a serious concern I have for Alvin Kamara, and it could realistically happen.
And it's the same team that didn't rush Michael Thomas back last year because they sucked.
Right. So just be careful with that, like, you know, when you have we're talking about a $1 billion organization in a consortium of $1 billion organizations, which is a $1 billion, multi-$1 billion league, right? Like, they can do whatever they want with that court date. If they wanted that court date to be pushed out to 2075, it would have already been pushed out to them. There's a reason that it's pushed out to only November, right? Like, you know, back in high school, I had some stupid court date and we pushed it all the way out to like Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, you can do whatever you like. It's not that hard to push out a court date. So if they wanted to push it out farther, they could have already done that. Like, I think they're seriously setting this up so that it fits their timeline and their schedule. So just be very careful with Alvin Kamara. I'm stopping short of telling everyone to trade him away, but just know that that's a real possibility that he finishes this year suspended.
Yeah, and I don't think he's worth Najee. So I even though you're getting the upgraded tight end there with Waller, I don't think I make that deal. I'm going to say no to that one. Daniel Begley. Is that DJ? That might be DJ. Should I trade high on Cup after tonight? Feel like regression will hit him and CMC at the same time. I'm not trading Cup.
Linda can't answer. She's too biased.
Why am I biased? I'm not biased, but
you love Cooper Cup.
Regression has been coming.
You and Ani Coop. You and Ani Coop can't be unbiased on Cooper Cup.
Yes, we can. We're fine. Yep. We talked about it already.
You and Ani Coop can't.
I think we've been projecting regression for like a whole year now. And why? It's not why. What are you looking at that says that he is going to regress? Because there is nothing that I've seen to indicate that. There's nobody in the pass catch. I mean, Tyler Higbee, is that who you're worried is going to start out targeting Cup? That guy with the name that kind of sounds like Scrotum Neck. I'm so sorry.
Ben Scrotum Neck.
Be nice. One of my followers has that last name. Great guy as well.
Scrotum Neck or like the real one?
Scrone. His name is Skronik as well.
Okay. Skronik.
It doesn't want to come out of my mouth that way. I'm sorry. So that's my bad, Ben.
All right, Ryan, would you do this trade? Ryan says he gets Chris Godwin, Hollywood Brown, and gives away Deontay Johnson, James Conner, and Brian Robinson. I want nothing to do with James Conner.
Deontay Johnson's not even good.
I would take that trade. I would take Chris Godwin and Hollywood Brown. Deontay Johnson has a rookie quarterback. He's going to be kind of sharing the volume with his George Pickens and his almost better pass-catching tight end. I want nothing to do with James Conner. He's soft. I take that deal.
Remember when Linda got suspended from Twitter for saying Deontay Johnson can't catch?
Yes.
And it turns out that he hasn't really been catching the ball a lot. So I think, you know, Twitter should apologize to Linda.
Yeah, I should get a letter or something. That was bullshit.
Yeah, you should. Demanding a physical letter of apology. Dude only caught, what, two passes this week or whatever? What was it? Yeah, two passes for 11 yards.
Rough. Stinks. He did have a touchdown that he didn't get his foot in the back of the end zone.
Doesn't sound like a touchdown to me, then. Those touchdowns only come for my guys.
That's right.
T. Higgins and Evan Ingram.
Are you guys taking that deal?
Those are touchdowns.
Are you taking the Godwin Hollywood side of that?
Give me the Godwin Hollywood side.
Same. I would say it depends on what you're left with at running back if you're trading away Connor and Brian Robinson. Like,
even the number one James Connor super fan is considering it.
Yeah. So, I consider it, but
so you know it's a good trade.
I would just want to know what you're left with at running back before I traded away two running backs and got back two receivers and no running back coming back. So that's my
fair.
Only question.
I think that's fair for sure.
You can find RB1s on the waiver wire. It's fine.
Oh, shut up, little Tompkins. Oh.
That's true. Okay.
Jamal Williams is hanging out, bro. Khalil Herbert in the gang. She's not wrong.
Cool. Not a running back. Loop is a tall glass Great. Of water.
I mean, dude, that hair, strongest hair in the game, bro. Easy, dude.
Who was it? Yeah, was it Joey Wright that said a couple weeks ago that Loop makes him want a glass of sweet tea?
Yeah. Saying, dude, fucking Loop comes around with that hair, dude. My dress might get ripped off by the subway. That's all I'm saying, dude. And there's no subways around.
These are those running backs that Ryan has that we were talking about.
Then I would absolutely make that deal.
Yeah,
Ryan, even hesitate, bro. Click accept right now.
Yeah. Brian Robinson, dude.
Right
now. It would need to be dark times for Brian Robinson to crack that lineup.
Make that deal right meow. All right, cool. Talk about a debut this week.
I thought, dude, we were this section where we talk about good things. We should just go around the table talking about how good my team is in the Fantasy Besties Dynasty League.
No, I don't want to talk about that because my team sucks and I beat Linda this week. So, like,
yeah, on the back of TJ Hawkinson. All right. I lost everywhere this week. Okay. I was not a good week for me.
Great week for me and the Dusty Bunch, dude. Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Leonard Fournette, Zeke Elliott. Dusty Bunch. Still got Antonio Brown on the bench for moral support.
For PP support.
The boys are back in town, dude. Yeah, what's up?
Just in case you want to get waterboarded, right?
What was I supposed to talk about?
You're going to talk about a debut.
Oh, yes. Mr. Kenny Picks. The first pick, not his fault. I felt like the wide receiver should have gone up and high pointed that ball. So you can't let it hit your shoulder pads, right? That's day one stuff, peewee football stuff. Don't let it hit your shoulder pads. But, I mean, yeah, the dude came out through three picks. And now, you know, two rushing touchdowns, super annoying. Like, that was a play this weekend on my running backs, dude. Let Najee Harris score. Let Saquon Barkley score. Saquon Barkley running up and down the goddamn earth with 150 rushing yards, and Daniel Jones has two touchdowns. Are you kidding me? Get out of my face with that stuff, dude. Like, so annoying. But anyway, Kenny Pickett came in. Crowd was loving it until the football started. Then they were not super excited about it. But the thing that I'm worried about here is that their schedule is crazy bad. I honestly think they should go back to Trubisky because they're going to have plenty of opportunities to throw him in garbage time, which is, I think, when he should be playing. Like, go back to Mitch. Let the Bills will substitute guys into your lineup for you, right? Like, it'll be time to pull Trubisky soon enough. And then they play your Bucks, JB, which that's going to be a problem. I think they got the Colts after that. Like, their schedule is going to present plenty of opportunities for Mr. Kenny Pickett. So I don't think they should force him back in there. I think they should. I didn't like that they went to him this game in the situation they did. You want to keep the pressure off, right? They went to him in like a tie game, and it was like they really, really put him in the spot. I don't like that. And, you know, I'm not one to say that like guys can get ruined by the situation, but we saw it with Tua. With member loop, they brought in Fitzpatrick. Yeah, you remember. Fitzpatrick was a quarterback. They pulled Fitzpatrick. Tua came in. You shoot the guy's confidence, dude. You know what I mean? Like, Mike Tomlin, I don't want to spoil anything for you. I don't want to spoil your rom-com here, but you guys aren't winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so, like, it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to happen. It's okay to just kind of play it out and then, like, bring the guy along when he's ready. You don't have to try and force him into a game to try and win this game to protect your, you know, your career never having a losing season trash. So,
especially against a juggernaut like the Jets, you know.
Yeah, the Jets. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I guess the Jets is probably a good opportunity. But, like, you're going to throw him out there now against the Bills?
Bills, Bucks, Dolphins, Eagles. Yikes.
I don't know about that, man. We watched Joe Burrow miss an entire season going out behind a terrible offensive line, getting hurt. Like, I don't know if it's a good idea.
And you saw how that worked out terribly. I mean, they just went to the Super Bowl the next year. So
went to the Super Bowl. I think that might be the trick.
They didn't win.
Feed your young quarterback to the Lions, then you go to Super Bowl next year.
It's worth the trade.
Worth exploring.
You might be onto something, Coop. You might be onto something there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. We'll start looking at Bills. What do you think if they announce Kenny Pickett's going to start against the Bills, what do you think the spread is going to be in
there? I think they already did. I think Tomlin came out and said that they're going to roll with him.
I think Tomlin said he didn't know what the fuck he was going to do. And I'm pretty sure the spread started at like 14 points.
14. Yeah. So there you go. Dude. They're going to get steamrolled.
Yeah. They're going to get smoked. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for George Pickens.
Why? He had like 35% target share once Pickett came in. So he's going to get his.
I got to hop over. Got that other show at 8 o'clock.
All right, Coop. Have fun over there. Thanks for joining us.
I think we're going to be talking about football over there too.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, cool. I don't know if that one's live or what is it, but you know, keep an eye out for that. I'll be on with the boys over at JWB Dynasty, talking with my boys Wyatt and Skyler. It'll be fun. All right, catch you.
Nice. Tell them the bestie said hi. Oh, I will. So Loop, tell us what rhymes with Loop besides Coop.
Well, let's scoop, and I'll give you one. DK Metcalf, he was carted off. Everybody's like, what's going on here? This is our boy. Why is he being carted off to the locker room? So we find out after the fact that he just had to go to the bathroom, man. So but you know, it finally answers the question. So you were able to take something from this. People have been wondering. It's been Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, who's the guy? So DK Metcalf finally showed us that he is the number two wide receiver in that offense. So you got to go with Tyler Lockett as the number one guy. DK is the number two after that performance yesterday. So.
See what you did there. Let's see what you did there. Well,
one of my buddies said that he's hard pressed to believe that, like, you take the cart if it's already happened. Like, he was like, I can't walk. Like, you got to put me ass down where nobody could see it and take me to the locker room right now. That's like, I for real. But the fact that he responded to it and, like, played along, because, you know, Lamar Jackson still's like, no, I was just cramping. And we're like, we all know you went poop, bro. Just at least
DK everybody poops, right?
Like, I appreciate that.
Yeah, DK like, yeah. came straight out on Twitter and said that clinch walk wouldn't have made it. Like, he knew, like, hey, I wasn't going to do the waddle all the way to the locker room. And from what I heard, the visitor locker room from the sidelines at that particular stadium is the furthest of any stadium. So, like, that's kind of why, hey, it was pretty smart of him. If he didn't think he was going to get there and he knew how far that locker room was and the clinch walk wasn't going to make it, good for him to call the cart. And good for the cart guy. You should see, I'm looking at the picture now of him on the cart going past the goalpost, and the cart guy's just like, I can't believe I'm driving a dude to the shitter right now. Like,
a millionaire.
But I mean, you're telling me, though, if you had access to a cart anytime that you needed to go to the bathroom, you wouldn't use it? I would be calling up the cart guy all day long.
Dude, I mean, want a golf cart so bad.
I don't care if it's 2 feet away. Come pick me up at my door. I'll hop in. You drive me 3 feet, and I'll get out. Like, yep. I don't want to walk.
And then you wait for me.
Yeah, you wait for me to come out and take me back.
That's a life, man. Imagine being that. Imagine having that. Like, oh, man. Anybody know who Roberto Firmino is?
No, but he apparently has some nice pearly teeth.
Like, I have no idea. I'm going to have to look up who Roberto Firmino is. I don't know. Scampers cramps after 3 pounds of shrimp Alfredo, too. I mean, Scampers, you shouldn't be eating shrimp Alfredo. That's not good for cats. I really wanted to talk about the poop loop, but since you talk about the poop, I'll just congratulate the Giants on being 3-1. I mean, speaking of poop, right? Like, that's the poopiest looking 3-1 team that I've ever seen in my life. I don't know. There's not much to say. Saquon looks great. Daniel Jones is hurt. Tyrod's in concussion protocol. They might be going with their third quarterback, whose name escapes me now because he sucks.
Davis Webb, yep,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's who they could be going to London with this week. They're 3-1. Congratulations. I live in New York. I know a lot of Giants fans. Congratulations to you guys. Enjoy it now because it's a paper 3-1. I mean, you didn't beat good teams. You beat really bad teams. I mean, even the Titans that you're trying to sell me on being a good team that you beat, they're not a good team. So, like,
can you imagine having to fly to Europe knowing full well you've got Davis Webb that you're trotting out there? I mean,
no,
let's just stay home, man. Let me stay at the crib. We'll just take the L. Let's take our bye week. Let's just take the bye week now.
I read this seems like a lot of trouble. That a London game has seen two winning teams play against each other.
Really?
And I'm like, man, that is winning such a facade, man. Like, it's such a lie. Just fraudulent. No, yeah, they're winning. Mm-hmm. They're good. 3-1.
And even though London got bad teams this week, they got a good game at least. It came down to a double doink at the end of the game. So, like, at least they got an exciting game.
That's really where it all went downhill from.
Was that where your weekend ended?
Yeah, the double doink was
at brutal. Like 10 a.m. Eastern time. Oh, man. We got a question from Loaf. I wonder if that's our boy, Wes. My team is Brady, CMC, Herbert, Diggs, Kirk, Hollywood, Urge. You going to give us your whole team, bro? Needs more RB depth, he thinks. Who should he trade and who for? All right, so we did have a trade segment. Who should we be targeting? Is there an RB right now for depth that you're specifically targeting, Linda?
Again, I generally, if I'm targeting running back depth, I am looking at the waiver wire for anybody that could be a potential handcuff or as already, I mean, we lost Patterson this week is headed to the, he headed to the IR. So we know he's not going to play for 4 weeks. JT may or may not play on Thursday. It's a quick turnaround. And I think that was the turf toe, wasn't it? So you're looking at maybe some Hines, but I'm going to the waiver wire for running back depth when you're right now, you've got two starting running backs.
Yeah. Is there anyone you're looking at specifically, Luke?
I mean, he needs a starter probably at this point. I mean, if he's starting CMC and Herbert, when Montgomery comes back,
right,
then I'm not saying Herbert just going back to the bench, but he's not somebody that I would trust as my RB2. And with the receivers that he has, I think there are definitely guys. Just look around your league, see who is hurting for wide receivers. Know that you have some real studs right now. You've got Olave and Dobbs that are coming on strong. You've got three really good starters in Diggs, Kirk, and Hollywood. So you really have an opportunity to trade one of those wide receivers and get back someone that you can slot into your lineup right away at running back. So that's what I would be looking to do.
Yeah, and looking at that wide receiver group, you have, like Loop said, you have Olave, you got Dubs coming on. So I would not obviously trade Diggs, but I would look at that Kirk-Hollywood range and try to trade one of those guys for a high-end RB2 type of guy. You know, we talk about Josh Jacobs, so, you know, I doubt the Josh Jacobs manager is going to be looking to move him right now, but you could probably get someone in that high-end RB2 range for one of these wide receivers who are really coming on. I mean, Hollywood's getting a ton of targets. Kirk's been great for most of this season so far, you know, kind of being that number one there. He's got paid a lot of money to be that. So they're pretty valuable. And if, like Loop said, you find somebody who's looking for a wide receiver that has running backs, you could get a starter for one of those guys and then just slide Olave and Dubs into to be your starter, one of those guys into your starter every week. So I think that should be the plan you take there. Speaking of a guy who might not be a starter in your lineup anymore, guys, what the hell is going on with Kyle Pitts? Like, it's been rough. I mean, TJ Hockenson yesterday was amazing, right? He scored almost 15 more points yesterday than Pitts has all year. In fact, Mo Ali Cox scored more points yesterday than Pitts has all season. Are we ready to call this guy a bust at his third round draft cost? Or are you still kind of looking to buy low on him? What do you think, Luke?
I really find it tough to trade anything of real value and not be able to trust that you're getting an upgrade over what you probably are already starting at tight end at this point. You know, I was looking at it today and, you know, we all had kind of the same opinion on Amon-Ra St. Brown, right? That last year he was getting he was getting all those targets because there was really nobody else to throw to. But we didn't really think about that in terms of Kyle Pitts. But I'm wondering if that was the case last year, that he was forced into being the main receiving option because Ridley didn't play and they weren't prepared for that and they didn't have another option really. The wide receivers were not very good last year, and I think it maybe forced their hand into treating Pitts as more of a receiver than what they're doing this year. Now that they do have Drake London in there and they have a little bit more depth at the position, I'm wondering if this may have been kind of the plan the entire time, that maybe he's more of the George Kittle, where he does a lot of blocking, but he's really that dual threat guy, more so than like a Mark Andrews, who's solely just out there to catch passes. So I'm wondering if maybe that was the plan all the time and they just by default had to treat him as that receiver last year, as his rookie year, just because there was no one else. So that's just what I'm maybe thinking. It's the only thing to me that makes sense. They're leaving him in to block quite a bit more than they did last year. So I don't know if it's just they feel the offensive line is weaker or that Mariota is just can't get rid of the ball in time or what it is, but he's not running near the routes, doesn't have near the route participation as he had as a rookie. So that's what scares me a little bit. And, you know, they're not a high volume passing offense really anyway. They're up and down week to week. So I wouldn't be really looking to trade much for him at this point, unless I'm just desperate at tight end now.
That's an interesting take, Lindy. You think that's what's going on there?
Yeah. So I listened to the Reception Perception podcast, and Matt and James Coe were talking about it. Not this last week, but the weekend before, about like Kyle Pitts fantasy managers are getting on Twitter or on Reddit or wherever they're going and talking about why aren't they getting the ball to their best playmaker? They are. It just happens to be Drake London now, and Kyle Pitts will be a more traditional tight end. It's not fun. It's not what anybody wanted, especially if you drafted him early. I was not a Pitts drafter. If I was going to take an early tight end, it was almost exclusively Kelce or Mark Andrews. Kelce less so because I can't draft Chiefs and be happy with myself. But it was just always like a really strong bet that he was going to repeat last year. And everybody assured us that touchdowns were coming, and people threw that word out that they love positive regression. But positive regression means like back to the mean. And right now his mean is one touchdown in a season. So I just, I don't know if it was greatly exaggerated that he's, you know, obviously he's a really great athlete, but maybe we got too excited about his fantasy outlook right out of the gate. And if Calvin Ridley's back next season and then he's competing with Drake London and Calvin Ridley, like that starts really becoming a concern. Coop's not here, but you know, he's always top two target on your team. And obviously he's struggling right now. I think that do the Falcons win this weekend?
Yes.
Yeah. So they completed 7 passes and won. That's
wow.
Bonkers. So, you know, right now it's in terrible pass, like a volume in the passing game, and Drake London's clearly who they're trying to get the ball to right now. So I think because of his draft capital, you have to hold him because the offers you get are not going to be worth what you drafted him for. And you're not going to like drop him that, you know, I think you're just kind of stuck if you've got him on your redraft leagues.
It blows my mind because like listening to you guys talk about it, and I've heard people talking about it, and that is what's happening. They're leaving him in to block more. And Luke, maybe you're right. You make the comparison to why we were so out on Amon-Ra, and maybe we should have been out on Pitts for the same reason. But they drafted this guy with the number 4 pick of the draft. Like, you got to think they drafted him that high because he's such a weapon. He's a matchup nightmare. He's a physical freak. He's super athletic, right? Like, you're going to put him on safeties and linebackers, and he's just going to be a dominant pass catcher. You don't think you draft a guy number 4 overall to block. Like, if that's the case, draft an offensive lineman.
Are you looking at me in my face and telling me that we've never seen coaches and, like, front offices do fucking stupid shit in regards to the draft? We watch it all the time. We watch it all the time happen and then go, what the? But when we thought he was going to be this dominant target on that offense, it was great. And then, but now this year they took another really, really good wide receiver. And now he is not that X wide receiver on that offense. He's a tight end.
Yep. You're right. And it's definitely worrisome now, but I think you make a good point in saying that your draft capital is so high that there's no sense in selling at this point, because what are you going to trade him for? Like, you know, you're going to trade him for, I don't know, Evan Engram, Tyler Higbee, you know, like Tyler Conklin. Like, no, I'm just going to hold on to it and roll the dice and see what happens. So I think at this point you're just kind of stuck with him, but Griffin might not be stuck with his guys. Griffin wants to know if he should trade Dalvin, Madison, and Edmonds for Leonard Fournette and Pollard. So he'd be trading the Minnesota backfield and Edmonds, who's kind of like a split backfield guy, for Leonard Fournette and Pollard, who's kind of like a split backfield guy. I think that's a fair deal. I don't know. I'm a little worried with Dalvin with the shoulders. I don't think Madison steps in and becomes Dalvin if he does go down. I think Pollard's an upgrade over Edmonds. I think Leonard's kind of even with the Minnesota backfield. So the way I see that one is is it's a little bit of a lean towards the Leonard side. What do you guys think? Linda?
I was going to say, well, I'd like the Dolphins fan to weigh in first because we got a Tampa Bay take, and now I want a Dolphin take, and then I'll give you my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards the other side, and it's not really because of Edmonds necessarily, but you already have the handcuff. I mean, we're all about, you know, don't draft your own handcuff or whatever, but he's already got it there. So I don't really see trading away the entire Minnesota backfield when you've already got it locked up. You know, Edmonds and Pollard, they're pretty much a wash for me. I don't see Pollard as that big of an upgrade over Edmonds. They're both going to have their weeks when they're the guy that happens to score the touchdown out of the backfield, but you know, they're flex plays at best. So to me, it's what do you want, Fournette, or do you want the Minnesota backfield that you have locked up? Even if Dalvin goes down, you still have it locked up. So that's, I think for the safety of it, I would just stick with that side.
Double right, condom Linda. Technique. no, I'm with Loop on this, but it comes down to a lot. Like the way that we're seeing Edmonds get used, he's clearly that goal line option. Once they get inside this like 10-yard line, Edmonds is seeing targets in the end zone. That's a guy I want on my team. I know everybody loves Tony Pollard, and he's so much better than Zeke Elliott and all of this. They play two different freaking roles. Let's stop. They don't. You can't compare them. They're two totally different players. I am not. I think Pollard has a better chance of kind of like a roller coaster season than just chugging along and not giving you too many big swings in either direction. Whereas if Edmonds, usage, the way that the Dolphins are using him holds up, I feel confident starting him every week, hoping for a touchdown. Again, I'm in chasing points part of the season now. I'm headed straight towards what do I think is going to be is going to get me the most points. And as far as Leonard Fournette or Dalvin with Madison attached, I'm kind of with Loop on that too. Like you already have the handcuff that people are talking about grabbing off the waiver wire in case something happens. And sure, Madison is not Dalvin Cook, but he has shown that he can be efficient in that offense. We've seen it before. So I think I lean that side, but neither side's, I don't think you could post it on Twitter and people will be like, oh, what an idiot, which is like always my concern when I make a trade. I think both sides, there's an argument for both sides.
Yeah. All right. There you go, Griffin. Hope we helped you a little bit there. I don't know. That's a tough one for me because Bucks fandom aside, like I just think that Lenny gets involved. Like Lenny is involved in that offense, and Lenny is like the key to that offense. Whereas on the Minnesota side of things, like they could just have a passing game. You know, they could just go Jefferson, Thielen, and just throw the ball around all day. So
I wish they would.
I know. Kevin's not here to do our injury report, and there were some key injuries this week that I guess we really should mention for everybody. So, Loop, you want to take us through a couple of them?
Yeah, so there were some big names. So, of course, the worst, I guess, injury was Javonte Williams. He is going to miss the rest of the season with the torn ACL. So you're probably looking at a committee right now of Melvin Gordon and Mike Boone. So they both saw some time yesterday. Boone was really more involved, and that may have just been because Gordon had the fumble, but he was more involved and unfortunately dropped the pass that would have kept the Broncos alive late in the game yesterday. It would have been obviously a first down and even more, and he just, I mean, just dropped it. So we'll see. I mean, they both made big mistakes in the game, but unless they go out and make a trade for somebody, you know, Kareem Hunt or somebody like that, then I think it's really going to be a committee backfield between those two. So Mike Boone is going to be much more available on waiver wires than Gordon is, but I still prefer Gordon if he's out there, but I think you got to go ahead and scoop up Mike Boone if you have the chance to. and just see how it shakes out.
You just got Linda really excited, by the way. We're talking about Kareem Hunt going to Denver.
I mean, you never know what they'll be looking to do, but if they're in it in the, you know, in a few weeks' time and they're still in the mix, then know what they'll
do. I don't think we need to trade for a running back because we're shit, but and also Kareem Hunt kicked that girl in the face, which was like, but I don't know. They're so bad. I was like, Russell Wilson's coming to town. It's going to fix everything. And the Broncos shot.
But you're only a game out. You're still only a game out.
We lost to the 0-3 fucking Raiders, JB. Don't
put a desperation, though. Desperation, though. They would have beat a lot of teams yesterday just out of desperation. It's the NFL. A team that has star players can't be that bad, right? Like, you just got the shit end of the schedule getting the 0-3 team. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Luke. Back to the Gimpy guys.
Yeah, you're fine. So, Cordarrelle Patterson as well. He is going on IR. He had a minor knee procedure today. So, that will be at least four games out as he was put on IR. So, Tyler Algier is going to be the big waiver wire addition, I would say, this week if he's not already rostered. But just
and he should be because I told you to pick him up last week on this show.
I will say, though, just be aware, Damian Williams is eligible to come back this week as well. So I don't think it's just going to be Tyler Algier, bell cow back. So we'll see how it goes there. And then the final one is Jonathan Taylor. So it looks like he did avoid the high ankle sprain. So it looks like it's just a low ankle sprain, and he still has a possibility of playing. It is a short week. They play the Broncos on Thursday night. So it's possible that he's going to be out there, but he could be limited if so. So we'll see. But I would make other plans. But good thing is you'll know ahead of time because it is a Thursday night game and you'll have time to prepare. But just be aware that he may be out or he may be limited if he does play. But fortunate that it's not a multi-week injury like was thought at first. So
we're going to lose to fucking Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan and Nyheim Hines show.
Nyheim Hines, who doesn't care about your fantasy football team, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. I get it. I'm sure that they get, like, crazy DMs and, like, why are you not scoring points and stuff. So I'm sure that they're bad apples that do put a bad taste in their mouth for fantasy.
I'm sure, but just shut up and take it. Because of these people that are in your DMs, people know who you are. And people might have bought your jersey because, you know, they won a league and you were on their team. Or somebody in another country who has no idea who the backup running back for the Indianapolis Colts is got a freaking fantasy team with their coworkers and ended up drafting him. Maybe they auto-drafted him. And now they know who he is.
Yeah. Like, but dude, I mean, I think it. Just like, not even on a player-by-player level, but just – overall, the popularity of the league and the money that fantasy football brings in, which ultimately trickles down to the players and those contracts. Yep. But, you know, that's for neither here nor there. But he might get some fantasy points on Thursday if JT is out. How's that? So
there you go. There you go. And I did tell you guys last week, I said, because we went through kind of waivers, Linda, remember we went through it, and I said sneaky stashes. Stash Algier, stash Pickett, right? Because, you know, they might not start next week, but they're guys you want on your bench just in case. So now, look at this. We got an injury that opens the door for Algier. We got Pickett coming in because Mitch sucks. But be wary. Like we talked about that schedule before, like Coop mentioned, I would not be starting Pickett any of the next 4 weeks. Keep him on the bench. Maybe he grows. Maybe he helps you in your playoff run. Maybe the matchups are better down the road. Now, same thing for this week, Luke, because I did have Damian Williams written as my sneaky stash this week. Because although I did tell you to pick Algier, and I think he's going to play well, he did run hard yesterday. Damian Williams, I think, is eligible to come back next week, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe this is the Algier week, but here's your sneaky stash, right? Because they probably will split that backfield. Linda told you before, they threw the ball 7 times yesterday. So if you have both of those running backs,
they completed
you never
7
know.
Passes.
Exactly. Just even worse. So now they know they need to hand the ball off, because even when they throw, they can't complete the passes. So yeah, let's turn and hand it to both of those guys, right? Because this could end up being like a bootleg poor man's Green Bay backfield, or like a bootleg poor man's Cleveland backfield. So you never know. I would pick up and stash Damian Williams. Other than the guys that you guys mentioned before due to injury, is there anybody that you might be looking to target on waivers this week? Maybe a little Bailey Zappi for you, Linda?
Bailey Zappi looks like he could play Mac Jones in a movie about Mac Jones. It's insane. Listen, I love the story, but you're not starting Bailey Zappi. They did everything they could to make sure that he didn't have to do anything he needed to do to win that game, and which is great. That's, you know, and they still almost pulled it off. He almost beat Aaron Rodgers in overtime, but you're not jonesing to start him. I guess in like a super flex league where you're always looking for a starting quarterback, he's fine if the bench is deep enough and you can stash him, go for it. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Mac Jones back earlier than we originally expected. He practiced last week. There was still some, like, you know, he had a doubtful tag, but there were still some murmurs about him possibly playing, and like, they weren't sure. So I think he's back sooner than originally planned, especially if old Axel Hoyer is sidelined for any length of time.
Axel. Loop, anybody you're looking at?
Yeah, we kind of talked about him already. Tyler Algier, if he's out there. The Broncos running backs, if they're out there. It's kind of dry this week otherwise. So just looking at if those guys that are filling in for injuries are available, pick them up and see what happens. So.
All right. Well, we don't really need to do much of a preview on this Monday night game because it did start already. So we're going to hop off in a couple minutes. Is there anything that you need to see tonight, guys? Any player that you're looking to see something from, or any fantasy matchups coming down to tonight that you're looking for anything?
I'm just really waiting for that Cooper Kupp regression that I've been promised since week four of last season.
I'm hoping to see Allen Robinson be a part of the offense and not just the guy who's on the other side of Kupp just running around and all exercise team, as yep. we say. But, you know, I don't know if that's the plan and they're just content with feeding Kupp and then letting Higbee get the leftovers or what it is. But I think ideally they would like to have Robinson be more involved and have a threat on that other side, even if that's just to open up Kupp just a little bit. So I'm hoping that that's the case. I've got a lot of A-Rob across leagues. I thought this was kind of a bounce back year for him and has not come to fruition yet. So yeah, I'm in trouble if it doesn't happen. So that's selfishly, that's what I'm looking for. So,
okay. All right. I'm looking for rushing touchdowns from the Rams because twofold reasons why, because I'm facing Matthew Stafford in a big Scott Fishbowl matchup that I need to win this week. I'm up about 20 going into it. I have Wilson. He's got Stafford. So unless Stafford like blows up, I think I should be okay. I'll knock on the same wood again. But I also want a lot of rushing touchdowns from Los Angeles because I offered my sister-in-law a trade in our Friends and Family League, trading her Akers and Henderson with Hockenson, trying to get back Andrews because she just lost Javonte. So I'm trying to give her a backfield and a little tight end downgrade so I can get Andrews, a little more Andrews in my life. So I'm hoping for a couple rushing touchdowns that makes her click accept. That's what I'm looking for tonight. Final thoughts, Luke. Final thoughts. What do you got to say?
Yeah, just enjoy the game tonight and enjoy week five. And I hope that you are have at least one win under your belt so far and you're not sitting there at 0-4, but you know, try to have some fun and just remember, like Linda said, none of this matters at all. So just try to have fun. If you're not having fun, then fantasies, you know, you need to take a break because that's what it's all about. I know there's money and things like that and bragging rights and whatnot involved, but at the end of the day, if you're not having fun and able to laugh at yourself when you make terrible picks, that's how I stop from crying. So that's me. So
yeah. Nice. Good thoughts, Loop. Linda, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, Loop crushed it. None of this matters. Go with your gut and when people accuse you of being wrong, gaslight the fuck out of them. Just really commit.
Oh, man, I love it. I'm going Jim Valvano on you guys. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Some of the best teams in my best championships started out 1-3. And that was when I was really good at fantasy baseball, and I was in the playoffs every year, and I was in the championship.
400 baseball games.
There was so many baseball games, and it went into the fantasy football season, Linda. So, like, I was so focused on winning my baseball championships that I was just like, all right, yeah, whatever. Like, not hitting the waiver wires, not making trades, just, you know, okay. Then I come in, I'm 1-3, boom, I start hitting the wire, I start making trades, I start winning championships. And it was fulfilling because I started from the bottom and then I was there. You know what I mean? So, you know, some of my favorite teams started out 1-3. So if you're 1-3, don't give up. Don't ever give up. You could still win a championship here. And it doesn't matter if you don't, right, guys? But thank you for everybody who came out and joined us today. Always a pleasure here hanging out with the Fantasy Besties here on the Razzball YouTube channel. Always wash your hands after touching raw meat. Scamper's coming through with the advice. Don't ever forget that. Definitely wash your hands, especially Scamper's. You don't want to get no salmonella and nothing like that, bro. You'd be end up running to the bathroom like DK and you don't have a cart. So that clench walk would have to make it. Thank you to Razzball for hosting us on the YouTube page here. Definitely check out the Razzball YouTube channel, the Fantasy Besties Twitter page, and Razzball.com. For Kevin and Coop, who left, for Linda and Loop, who are here, I'm JB Barry. We're the Fantasy Besties. Have a great week. We'll see you next Monday.